From Vermont Public Radio, this is The Frequency. I'm Henry Epp.
And I'm Anna Van Dyne. It's Monday, April 27th. Before we start, let's listen in on the Vermont House as members conducted their first remote vote over Zoom last week. Here's House Speaker Mitzi Johnson.
If you would like the clerk to call the roll for you, you're welcome to raise your hand or let us know. And we will do so, beginning with Representative from Rutland Town in just a moment.
F-ing Jesus.
Remind members to mute themselves.
Today on the podcast, a look at how two rural communities, Johnson and Randolph, are reacting to the possibility that they could lose their college campuses. But first, the headlines.
The number of confirmed COVID-19 cases in Vermont grew by less than 1% on Sunday, and public health officials say they expect that growth rate to keep going down in the weeks ahead. Throughout the whole pandemic so far, 851 people have tested positive, and 46 people have died in Vermont. 30 of those deaths were in Chittenden County.
A group of prominent Vermont businesses and nonprofits want to make it easier for Vermonters to vote by mail in 2020. Companies including Ben & Jerry's, Burton, and Seventh Generation are asking the state to send ballots to every registered voter in Vermont. The idea is to reduce in-person voting during the pandemic. Five states have already taken that step, and Vermont Secretary of State Jim Kondo says he's considering it.
And Governor Phil Scott's administration is asking every department in state government to come up with plans to cut costs. The amount of money coming into the state is expected to plunge in the coming months. And Scott says although lawmakers have already passed this year's budget, Vermont can't afford it. The state has received more than $1 billion in aid from the federal government, but states aren't allowed to use any of that money to offset their losses related to COVID-19.
And citing an abundance of backlash, the Vermont State Colleges system scrapped a plan to shut down three Vermont State College campuses. That's Northern Vermont University's campuses in Johnson and Linden and Vermont Technical College's campus in Randolph. But the state colleges are still in a pretty tough place financially.
We're going to hear more about the communities that would have been directly affected by those campus closures. And first, we're going to hear from reporter Pete Hirschfeld. He's here to tell us about Johnson, which is in Lamoille County. Hey, Peter.
Hey, Henry and Anna.
All right, so Pete, can you tell us about how NVU got its start in Johnson?
Yeah, the campus has been there for almost 50 years. That was when the legislature transformed an old teaching college in Johnson into one of the flagship campuses for the Vermont State Colleges system. It was known first as Johnson State College, now Northern Vermont University. But ever since, that campus became the host for Northern Vermont University. It's played an enormous role in the local economy. I talked to Eric Osgood, who's been on the select board in Johnson for almost 25 years, and he says Johnson has this vitality and that it owes it to one thing above all.
The largest employer, the largest economic benefit, the largest influx of money into our community by far is the college.
You know, Johnson, it's this rural Lamoille County town of only about 3,000 people. That said, it has a lot going on. If you walk down Main Street long enough, you'll pass by a pizzeria slash pub, art supply store, bookshop, three antique stores. There's Johnson Woolen Mills, which is one of the oldest continually operating textile mills in the country.
And so, Pete, I mean, if the campus were to go away, I mean, is that, you know, the death sentence for a town like Johnson?
I don't think anybody would go so far as to say it's a death sentence. It is hard to overstate how severe a blow it would be, though, and that's according to town officials there. I talked to Paul Costello, who's the executive director of the Vermont Council on Rural Development, and he said the benefits of these campus institutions on the rural towns that they're in are really all-encompassing.
One of the great things that colleges have done is that they have made Vermont a net importer of youth between 18 and 22. And for some of them, they end up staying and being, you know, creative entrepreneurs and leaders and very much part of the fabric of the future of our community.
And you went to Johnson pretty recently, Pete. When you were there, did you get a sense of how that town could change?
Yeah, and I think that that's a question that a lot of folks have been grappling with since this news came down. I spoke with Ellen McCulloch-Lovell. She's the executive director of Vermont Studio Center, which is an artist's residency program and another major employer in Johnson. And ever since Jeb Spalding proposed this campus closure, McCulloch-Lovell says she's been thinking a lot about what it would mean for the town.
You know, what's going to happen to Ebenezer Books and the art store and Sterling Market and the downtown pub and other businesses, unless there's a thoughtful approach and a way to keep something vital happening there, it will really, truly have a devastating effect.
Well, so the campus closure plan is not in effect anymore. The Senate in Vermont has said it could allocate some of the federal relief money to the state college system, but there is still a big budget shortfall looming in the future, and there's a lot of options still on the table which could still include campus closures. I mean, how are people in Johnson thinking about that now that there's still a lot of uncertainty?
They are feeling like they want to do whatever they can to be masters of their own destiny. Eric Osgood, who's the chairman of the select board there, said the town understands it isn't out of the woods and that it is ready to do whatever it can to work with the state to make sure that Johnson campus is financially sustainable over the long haul.
The work is not over yet. Now we need to get moving. And anybody thinks they can just sit back and relax now is sadly mistaken.
And Pete, before we let you go, I mean, you, you know, you're walking around this downtown that normally is lively and has a lot of shops and businesses and whatnot. What does it feel like right now, though, during a statewide lockdown?
You know, it's a little quieter like it is in all Vermont communities. But if you go to Johnson right now, the thing you will be most struck by is the number of Save NVU signs and banners. And of course, that's a reference to Northern Vermont University. People were really taken off guard by this announcement. They have rallied in the days since. They had a big rally. Over 200 people came out. Car horns honking, people trying to maintain social distancing, but perhaps we're in violation of the governor's order against 10 or more people gathering in one spot. But right now, the town more than ever is rallying behind this campus and really feel like the future of Johnson hinges on that campus staying put.
All right. That's reporter Peter Hirschfeld. Pete, thanks so much.
Thank you both.
And now we're going to go to Randolph. The plan to close Vermont Technical College's campus there would likely have ended the school's dairy program at a time when that industry is already struggling to survive. And it would have concentrated all the state's college-level technical education in Chittenden County.
Again, that plan is not going forward, but big changes could still be coming to Vermont Tech. Reporter Howard Weiss-Tisman visited Randolph and has this story.
The cows here at the Vermont Technical College Farm in Randolph don't seem fazed by State College Chancellor Jeb Spalding's call to shutter the campus. But for Ryan Montgomery, who's a first-year student in the dairy management program, it's been a hectic week.
The first day, everybody was, like, furious and outraged, and then since then, it's just been stressful being, like, on edge, not knowing what's going to happen and if the cows are still going to be here in a week or two.
The Vermont Technical College Agriculture Program is anchored in Randolph at the school's 200-head working dairy farm. And while the proposal to move all of the classes to the Williston campus might work for some programs like nursing and computer science, it would certainly mean the end of the dairy program. If the state wants to save what's left of the dairy industry, which lost more than 35% of its farms in the last decade, Montgomery says students like him need the Randolph campus.
Nobody likes to think about losing the farm. Like I said, you can work 16 to 18 hours every single day, and it's hard, and students really need the educational foundation to, if they ever want to have a chance of making it in the dairy industry today.
The barns here are more than 50 years old, and across the Randolph campus, there's about $20 million worth of deferred maintenance. And it's not just the dairy and agriculture program that would be threatened if Randolph closed. The campus also has Autotech, construction, and diesel mechanics, programs that might be hard to move to the more urban Williston campus. Charlie Kimball is a Democratic representative from nearby Woodstock and a member of the Rural Economic Development Working Group. The group has been working on issues like rural broadband service and education funding, and Kimball says the proposal to close the Randolph campus is now on their radar. Kimball says the high-tech training that happens in Williston is crucial to the growth in Chittenden County, which fuels the state's overall economy. But that growth, he says, should not come at the expense of Vermont's rural communities.
We need to provide rural Vermont with the assets they need in order to grow the economy, which is going to look different. It's tied to the land more than it is tied to something else. So I hate to put it in the context of being rural Vermont versus Chittenden County, because they are both so important to the identity of the state and also the economic viability of the state.
I went up to visit Steve Schubart. He's a Vermont Tech grad who now has a farm in the Champlain Valley. Schubart owns the Grass Cattle Company, and he raises grass-fed beef, which he sells in East Coast cities.
You're looking at a Hereford. All the browns are Hereford. That black is an Angus. And the red one is a Red Angus.
A few years ago, Schubart was taking economics courses at a college out in California, and he had a part-time job at a ranch. Schubart realized that he liked cows a lot more than he did economic theory. So he returned to Vermont, where he grew up, to get an agricultural degree at VTC in Randolph.
Figuring out how to scale up small-scale agriculture systems to meet the demand of the masses, to me, is a big goal in my career, and I saw that I was going to get the skills, those skills specifically at Vermont Tech.
And so the news that his school might be shut down was tough to accept. Schubart sees a lot of potential in Vermont's ability to provide quality beef to a hungry market, and he says he'll fight to keep the campus open.
I see the disparities between the resources between Chittenden County and the surrounding counties and the rest of Vermont. But I don't want to live in a country where rural America is not valued and can't work with the major metropolitan areas to be a successful society. The idea of bringing all of the state college resources to Chittenden County, to me, is bad.
State college officials say that even with a massive bailout to help the campus open up in September, the present system is not sustainable. The debate over just how much money Vermont is willing to invest in its rural economy will rage on. For VPR News, I'm Howard Weiss-Tisman.
And before we go, here's a look at the Eye on the Sky forecast for today. It's going to be cloudy with a mix of morning snow and rain in the valleys. Highs in the upper 30s to mid 40s.
Thanks for listening to The Frequency. If you're not already subscribed, you can do that in your podcast app, and a new episode will show up in your feed every weekday morning.
This episode featured reporting from Peter Hirschfeld, Howard Weiss-Tisman, and John Dillon. Our music is by Blue Dot Sessions, and our executive producer is Mark Davis. I'm Anna Van Dyne.
And I'm Henry Epp. Talk to you tomorrow.
Member from Fairhaven?
Yeah, I need help again. I cannot make this thing work right back where I was this morning.
All right, no problem. We'll just, we will call the roll. Will the clerk please call the roll? So far, we have two.
Taranzini of Rutland Town.
I certify that I am Representative Taranzini of Rutland Town, and I vote yes.
Helm of Fairhaven.
I certify I'm getting real tired of this, and I vote yes.